All right, and we're back here on Couch Coach Live, another Wednesday night under the lights here on Couch Coach Live. What's going on, Maui?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Same here, man. What's good? Same here, man. Another day, another opportunity.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Man, sports been crazy. It was a crazy, like, championship weekend in so many different ways, man.
Yeah. A lot has happened. You, like you said, the whole situation, you know, we'll talk about the we'll talk about Coach Cal, now the head coach at Arkansas, surprisingly. And, you know, all that's going on with that. And then you just think of, you know, we talked about that. We'll talk about that tonight. And then we'll talk about who's going to be the replacement, who's going to fill those big shoes at the University of Kentucky. So much stuff going on. UConn winning the national championship. We'll talk about their place in history. Don Staley wins it for the women. So we'll get all set, and we'll talk about that tonight here on Couch Coach Live. So what we'll do, we'll take a brief timeout. We'll be right back here on Couch Coach Live. We'll be right back. We're back here on Couch Coach Live. Definitely a huge shout out to our guy, Big Kirko. So we're back again here on Couch Coach Live. This week's Couch Coach Live is powered by SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code COUCHCOACH to get yourself $20 off your first purchase using SeatGeek. Obviously now, like we talked about it before we went on air, you know, the weather has changed. It's spring out here. We all going outside, as young folks would say. So why not head over to SeatGeek? You're going to a concert, going to baseball games, going every, you know, any type of sporting events, concerts, you name it. Use that promo code COUCHCOACH, get yourself $20 off at checkout. So, yes, some interesting news in the world of college basketball. And it's funny because obviously news broke out as early as Sunday that there was going to potentially that Coach Calipari was leaving the University of Kentucky to take the job at the University of Arkansas. So it was official today. They had a press conference this afternoon. Coach Cal officially named as the 15th head coach in Razorback men's basketball history. He signed a five-year deal where he'll get $7 million annually. That could be extended for 2 years. So pretty much if he makes the NCAA tournament in those periods, he could get 2 extra years on that contract. Also, the deal also includes a $1 million signing bonus, a $500,000 retention bonus annually, and also some financial incentives based on if he makes a tournament, also including the second round, also Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, and obviously winning the national championship. And so in his tenure at the University of Kentucky, he went had 410 wins and 123 losses in his 15-year tenure at Kentucky. What was your thoughts, Maui, on Coach Cal heading to Arkansas?
I mean, when you read the numbers, he hadn't really done anything since like 2015. What I know about Coach Cal was that he was a great – everybody seems to like him. He got that – from what I'm hearing, he got that gift of gab. He knows he's very respectful. He's not judgmental. He's seemed like nobody dislikes him. It's just that from what, you know, the rest of the show, we're going to talk about blue blood teams. And I started looking up, you know, past championships, and he only has one. And Kentucky is one of those teams that okay, you're definitely recruiting top guys, and their plan is, and you're understanding that they're most likely going to try to go to the league, and they most likely do go to the league, because one of it's because of you and how you bring these players up and get them ready to play in the league. But the problem is Kentucky has a culture too, and Coach Cal and Kentucky's culture are two different things. And the Kentucky fans are like, okay, you have been extremely underachieving, and we want to go deeper in the tournament. And it's just, I think he had something over other teams at the time when it was popular, but like now, it's just not working out. When you're losing to Oakland and San Diego, was it San Diego State?
You said about last year when they lost. Who did they lose to last year? I don't know if it was San Diego State. I know they lost to Oakland this year. But, Yeah, I'm not sure who they lost to last year. I know they lost in the first round.
They lost in the first, second round. But bottom line is Kentucky is – and it's a lot, it's not just Kentucky, too. So I also, you know, I think when you're in negotiation with a lot of people don't understand, like, for them to fire him, they would have had to pay him $33 million. Plus, they would have had to hire somebody, and they most likely had to – that's a lot. That's like probably almost like $50 or $45 million. So – he left. I would like to know behind the scenes, how did they work that out? Because for him to just leave $33 million on the table, I don't know. But Arkansas seemed like they've had some success, and he's just going to have to redo how he does things. Whereas I think they are, I think, what is it, $5 million in NIL money or something like that?
What, for Kentucky or just
with Arkansas? Didn't he? It's like he had NIL money. He's going to have NIL money to play with. And you, from what I'm seeing now, since COVID, it's a lot of older players that's kind of hanging around and getting in this portal, whereas getting young guys to just go to the league, and a lot of them may not seem like to me wasn't going to Kentucky. You know what I mean? They're going to places that's going to use them and give them, excuse me, most likely what they want. So to me, it just was time. And it seemed like to me, too, Kentucky don't play no games. Like, when you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, they necessarily look like they're ready to move on. Like, a lot of people say they're shocked. But from what I look at the history, he only had one turn. He only had one championship. So I'm like, well, it looked like it was time.
Yeah, I will. At first, I was shocked initially. I think when the news came out on Sunday, I was just like, this is kind of, you know, I thought it was fake because I'm like, okay, Coach Cal going to Arkansas. Like, this sounds, I mean, even though it's out the realm of possibility. Right. I think it was a smart move for Coach Cal because I think ultimately, it's funny how this whole coaching carousel happened. It's almost eerily similar to what Coach Cal did because when you think about it, Andy Enfield, the former USC coach, goes to Southern Methodist University. That leaves a wide open coach vacancy for USC. And then, obviously, Eric Musselman, the former coach at Arkansas, goes to USC. Now you feel that void there. And I think it's just one of those where I think he knew the writing was on the wall with this with Kentucky and think to himself, hey, this might be my best exit strategy. And plus, he stays within the conference in the SEC, and he can compete with, and, you know, it's not like it'd be a drop-off in a sense. And I like the move, and I think Arkansas, especially considering the fact, you know, you lose a guy like Eric Musselman, it's hard to replace somebody of his stature. So you get a guy that's, I think, that can fill that void potentially. And I know people say, well, in his 15 years, you know, he had like the number one recruiting class. And I mean, he's had so many great opportunities to win a championship. I know you mentioned 2015. That should have been the year they should have won. They were undefeated. And then they ran into a tank, no pun intended, and Frank Kaminsky. So It's that year, and then obviously you think about the team, that team at Memphis in 08 when they lost to Kansas. So he's been there, and it's just one of those where I wonder how it will all translate in Arkansas, where,
right.
you know, and Arkansas is now becoming a, but, you know, Arkansas has always been a historical place because obviously they, 30 years ago, they won a national championship with Nolan Richardson. And now you started, it started to emerge to be a basketball power. I don't know if it may have been 2021 or 22, or all these years run together at this point. But Arkansas has made like an Elite Eight run with Eric Musselman. So now you think to yourself, you know, and it's at a point where it was already hard enough to replace Eric Musselman. But I think you getting a guy like a Coach Cal, I think that's great. I think it's an upgrade in a sense. Right. And like you said, and Arkansas will always get those prime recruits, and he'll still be able to recruit. He'll still have the best players, and they'll still have the best access to stuff. And you could be within that division. So I mean, within that conference in the SEC. So
right.
I'm just curious how that's all gonna play out. But I think I love it, Arkansas though.
I think that a lot of those Kentucky guys that he recruited, I think they're. I mean, let me ask you: do you think some of those legendary players that went to the league? That you look at as Kentucky guys, do you think that they would help him recruit?
Oh, for sure. Okay. Because to me, I think if you see and now you look at it, you think, okay, it used to be like a position group, it used to be like the lead guard, like okay,
right.
you had Derrick Rose. You had John Wall, Eric Bledsoe. Right. So you're like, okay, if I'm a point guard, I really want to go here because I can see them. But now you're looking at anybody. You look at any position. You look at even like what he's done with SGA, who could potentially be the MVP of this current this league potentially this year.
Right.
Devin Booker, Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, hell, we can even go back and talk about Marcus Camby.
Right.
Like if we really want to sit there and really talk about. Yeah, so it's like he has had that type of success, and I think you know if you're a guy that's yearning to go to the NBA, he's still gonna be that guy because I mean, when you think about these All-Star teams these last few years, half of those guys are from Kentucky, and yeah, it would definitely be a sales pitch because especially now with everything that's going on, like with the NIL stuff. Right. You know, he could, you know, or, you know, and we got an overtime elite. I know we get rid of the Ignite in the G League. But, hey, I could sell you on the fact of even if you know, because a lot of people are probably looking for the NIL money. But I'm like, look, I can get you to a point where you can get a $300 million contract by the time you're 24, 25. Like, I could get you know, look at what I've done with SGA. Right. Look what I've done with Booker. Look what I've done with De'Aaron Fox, you know, all like just a litany of guys that went to the University of Kentucky. Well, for sure.
Then I seen something today too. They were saying something about, and I don't understand. Maybe I met it. He was saying something about his coaching staff and how he was going to need some new coaching staff, and Arkansas was willing to put a lot of money up so he could really build a staff. And it was like a lot of stuff. It was almost like Kentucky really wasn't trying to support him anymore, and some of the things it was something, you know how it is. You get to look it up stuff, and people were putting those little 2 cents in. I don't know if it's true, but all I looked at it as, okay, you got $33 million, or you know what I'm saying? That's like, why don't y'all let me go and don't pay me this $33 million or something? You know what I mean? Like, because it almost looked like he might have wanted to leave himself anyway.
Yeah, I think he knew the writing was on the wall because you know with Kentucky, it's difficult to get. To be in that position where, you know, the two consecutive first round losses, people wearing thin because you know, like Kentucky is a beast. Like it's a job. Right. It's not for the weak. And even for somebody with him, as well as accomplished as he has, because I'll put it this way, if the tenure that he had with Kentucky. If he, you know, because he won 410 games in 15 years at Kentucky, he's had multiple, you know, 1 year, you know, like the top recruiting classes pretty much for the majority of his tenure. Most organizations, most colleges will take that. right. will take that and like he's a legend, like, you know, and even with that one championship, he could. That's some people, some coaches in certain places will get a statue in front of an arena for the what he's done in Kentucky. Right. But we understand with Kentucky, 8 national championships, a bona fide blue blood program, that's not enough for them. So, yeah, and the shoes, I mean, not the shoes, but like the crown is heavy at Kentucky. Right. And that's one thing I think why, you know, because, you know, everywhere else he would be fine, but at Kentucky, if you've been there 15 years and you only won one national championship, that's not gonna cut it in Kentucky. And that's just the way it is there. I mean, obviously we've seen this before, not far as them getting rid of coaches. Obviously, you know, we looked at like Tubby Smith as well, like as an example. Just, you know, this is a small example, who won one national championship with, you know, with Kentucky. And, you know, even though he didn't have like a record like Coach Cal, but even to his example where, hey, they want more.
Right. And also, man, it's very important for Kentucky. Now looking at the whole thing, you got me studying today. I was like, oh yeah, when it comes to NCAA, Kentucky has got to be one of the top teams. They need to be in Elite Eight almost every season, man. Like, the NCAA needs that. You know what I mean? That's a big fan base.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so to me, I said, man, I wouldn't put it past NCAA. Say, hey, man, y'all got to do something. We need y'all. Like, they saying the men's numbers is down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And there's so many reasons why the men's is because they lack the star power. That's what it is. It lacks the star power. Yeah. And then with now, you have almost like an NFL free agency type of situation that's going on in college basketball. It's hard to keep up with who's where and where, you know, who's what, when and there. So, I mean, that's another thing where it's going to be difficult.
Well, it's like my dad with me and him would talk. He was like, man, how come this team is in the worst, the easiest bracket? Or how come this team is over here? And when you look at it, it's like, because – they got the best viewership, man. They bring the fans.
Yeah, and that's one thing too, where it's just and it's it's geographical, like, you know, and plus who the top seeds pick kind of which region they want to be in. So like, you know, you look at like Purdue, they wanted to be, you know, where they were, and then I think like Carolina went to, they were in the West, so they were in LA.
Right.
So who was in Boston? I think UConn was in Boston, I think. But I forget, you know, it's here or there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all like the politics of it. Like, I mean, and it makes sense because if I'm number one seed, I'm going to kind of pick at least which region I want to be in, you know, as far as, because if I know I can bring people at this certain area, you know, the following weekend, potentially, you know. So, yeah. Yeah. So now the biggest question about this whole situation, who's going to be able to fill those big shoes at the University of Kentucky? It's a laundry list of guys, I think, that could potentially become the new head coach at Kentucky. I got long shots. I got guys that make somewhat sense. But it's kind of one of those things where with this type of situation now, you know, this is a rarity where, you know, like we talked about, you know, last week, even though prior to last week, we knew, you know, Musselman was going to take the job at USC, so we knew Arkansas was going to be a potential team that was going to have opening. But now, fast forward to this week, we have the University of Kentucky, a bona fide blue blood, a job opportunity that does not come around, like in this case, 15 years. This is the first time this job has been open for 15 years. So who, in your opinion, is going to be, who do you have as replacing Coach Calipari at Kentucky?
Okay, so I got a few, and I got the two main two I think should do it. But from what I heard, some people said Dan Hurley, and that's you know, they would say, ah, that's gonna be a lot. And then I heard Scott Drew, and that's only a $4 million buyout. Some people said that before Cal, they asked Billy Donovan to do it. I really, what did you think? You think he would take it?
I think he should. He's somebody I looked at as well that potentially take that job.
Okay. So the actual two, Nate Oakes, Alabama, right? But I really think it should be Bruce Pearl. I think that's the real issue with Kentucky. The way they set up was with Cal. The only thing I can really think of is that he was preparing players for the NBA. But if I was a big blue blood college college organization, I would want a guy that would submerge into my team and to the organization and really practice that college basketball. Like Coach Kyle, easy to me, he could be an NBA coach. You know what I mean? Like Rick Pitino is like an NBA coach that's a college coach. Bruce Pearl is different. I feel like he embraces the being a college coach. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I feel like he's done well with Auburn. Auburn's been doing a little bit better than Kentucky probably the last few years. So I think Bruce Pearl should be the coach.
Okay. Yeah, I looked at that. There's a few. Like, I think the obvious ones, I think it's one of the things, if money wasn't an object, mm-hmm. if it's something where, hey, if we can, you know, buy out, I think the odds on favor would be Nate Oates. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he just led his Alabama team to a Final Four. Mm-hmm. I know that's $18 million buyout. I know that's a little steep, but mm-hmm. I mean, we don't, you know, who's really the boosters at Kentucky? Like, would they be willing to make that move? I don't know. To me, I got these two guys. I think if money isn't involved, like, hey, we can get a booster regardless of the price tag, we'll buy out their contract. So I look at Nate Oates, obviously the Alabama make it to the Final Four. Tommy Lloyd, the coach at University of Arizona, 3 years, 88 wins, 20 losses. He's young, and I think that's one too. I think if you want to look for that young component, he's 49 mm-hmm. years old. So right. if he can be at Kentucky for 15 years, he'd be just shy of 65 years old. So you think to yourself, okay, we can have another, and that's kind of have another a young Coach Cal in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. So and you look at the success of Arizona; they've been to the Sweet 16, I think, twice in his 3 year. 10 year at Arizona, so I think that'll be a good deal, and that's another one where you have to. He's a $12 million buyout, so
right.
those are the money don't matter. I think somewhat far fetched, maybe Billy Donovan. I think Billy Donovan I think he would be a good coach at Kentucky, because who knows what his future gonna be with Chicago, and you know mm-hmm. you just don't know, because you know you're sitting in the fact the way how the NBA is. And And if you're, you know, especially like them, they literally in the same spot that they were last year. There really isn't like any forward moving pieces with this team. So it's kind of one of those where, you know, because this season could potentially be over as early as next Wednesday in the play-in right. tournament. So you never know how that's gonna play out. So I look at that as a possibility. I think Bruce Pearl is like the long shot as well. I think he would kind of mimic what Coach Cal, I think he'll bring that type of excitement. I think he'll be someone that if you are looking for somebody that's going to be like rah-rah, he would be that person and kind of take that energy that, you know, obviously he had at Tennessee and then also at Auburn and, you know, and then transfer over to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Scott Drew is kind of a long shot. I think he's another one that's young as well. And I was reading stuff and they were saying, well, they thinking that, you know, it's going to be difficult for him to potentially move his family. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I think sometimes when people write that, sometimes like people don't understand the magnitude of this job opportunity. I think this job opportunity would make a guy like a Scott Drew uproot his family from Waco, Texas to Lexington, Kentucky. It's Kentucky. It's the University of Kentucky.
Right.
This is a job that does not open. It doesn't open. And that's the thing where this job may not come in. You know, we talked about some of these guys that on this list, this job opportunity may not even exist in their entire lifetime again, potentially.
Right.
You know, this, like, when you have a team like Kentucky and that's so rich in basketball history, and any coach that is even willing to take the interview or take the phone call, it's going to be serious, and it's going to be some stuff that, you know, and you know, so. But I think if it was me, and I think if it was up to me, and I was 80, and money didn't matter, I would get Nate Oates, because I'm more impressed with what he's done at Alabama, which Alabama and you know, for you know, not to be disrespectful, that's a football school. And right. He's making, you know, and he kind of carried that torch. Obviously, you think of Avery Johnson, the success that he had, and then now fast forward to, you know, to Nate Oates, who's literally, I consider it Avery Johnson walked. I mean, Avery Johnson crawled so Nate Oates can run at right. this point. So he's pretty much put this team back on the map. And you know, even though put it back on the map, I wouldn't say like that, but more so he has made – Alabama solidified basketball team. Coach Avery Johnson's credit, he did that as well. But I think now they're at a next level, a new level type of at Alabama. So yeah, if money was an object, it would be Nate Oates. But I think it would be him or either Scott Drew. I think he's lucrative enough, even though he just won that one championship at Baylor, but he beat a good Gonzaga team that I think no one thought they were going to beat in the next championship. I think a lot of us looked at Gonzaga because the way they was rolling that year, you know, there's no way that, you know, they was going to fall short to a Baylor team. But Baylor did it. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you kind of coach. So, out of everybody that we all said, who do you think is – The one guy that should really, even if out of all of them, everybody, even if it's if it's money, not what, whoever, who you think the one person they need so they can start winning right now?
Nate Oates. Yeah, it'd be Nate Oates.
And why is that?
Because what he's done in Alabama. Even think of last year, they were number one. I think they were number one seed last year.
Right, they were.
And, you know, and then you look at what he has done and, you know, just development of his players. Mm-hmm. He turned what many of us, and they still are a basketball football school.
Right.
But the success, right. Look at even within that SEC, the Alabama job is great. But the Kentucky job is even sweeter. So right. It's like, this is, to me, it would be a sizable upgrade for him and what he can do at Alabama. Because if he can do this at Alabama, considering the fact that all the shine and spotlight is on the football team. So you look right. at if he can be in a predicament where he's at a predominantly basketball, a football school, and can do what he does on the basketball end, it would be. I'm getting the boots together. We're gonna have a nice dinner. Mm. How are we gonna come up with $18 million to pry him out of Tuscaloosa? We're gonna have a plan. If it was up to me,
I know we gotta move on. But do you think that bothered the college, the alumni, and the fans of Kentucky that they had basically the culture was. Players was only coming there because they knew they were leaving early. I think that bothered them.
I think the only thing that bothered them was not getting a national championship. I think at this point, I don't think they would have honestly cared how Coach Calipari would have done it. They wanted to win. They wanted to win championships. Right. Like if he had guys, I don't hate to say this out loud, but. If he had a bunch of kids that was having NCAA violations, this, that, and the third, they ain't gonna care because they won that national championship.
Right.
Because that's what they're accustomed to. It's almost, right. And I don't want to compare them to like I don't even want to really compare him to the Cowboys, man. But like
92 Cowboys,
when it comes to the, I think it's just more so. I think it's more the sense of there's always a heightened expectation,
right?
And to think that, and rightfully so, because they have always had championship, like at least on paper, championship level type of players, as you can tell, you know, even you know as they translate to the league. But yeah, I think they're just more upset because he's been here for 50. They probably think that this is literally, as from a fan perspective, they probably think that it's a waste considering the fact that 15 years, you know, you got zero. I mean, and, you know, so especially with all the talent that you've had, you know, and even with that team, you had what, Anthony Davis, Anthony Kidd Gilchrist, Darius Miller, you had some guys on that team. So it's just, you know, I get it from their perspective because they are. That's how they are. That's just the standard, man. Kentucky, and the same thing go for all the blue bloods like Carolina. The same way, when it comes to you know winning championships, you know if you don't, you ain't doing much, you out the door. So you know, I know a lot of people even call it for Hubert Davis, and I'm thinking to myself, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. They want to try to get rid of him already. He just began.
Right,
and, you know, and some people, I swear, like if he, you know, he lose a game, hell, when they lost to NC State in the ACC tournament, they was ready to get rid of him. Then I'm like, yo, we get ready to get a number one seed anyway. So
when they hired him, they was ready to get rid of him.
Yeah,
are you serious?
They was ready. Yeah, and then luckily, because you think about it, because that year he didn't make the year he didn't make the No, he made the Final Four his first year. Yeah, he made the Final Four his first year. They made the national championship and lost to Kansas. Then the following year, last year, they didn't make the tournament. But I'm telling you, if he didn't have that Final Four run in 2022, his first year, they would have tried to get rid of Hugh for sure.
Right.
And let him not have another bad year. They will him out. But that's how it is.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, it's done for me lately.
Oh yeah, and that's even worse. It's bad enough that some teams are doing this when they don't have that type of pedigree.
Right.
Some teams are doing this without that pedigree, but Kentucky, I understand it because 8 national championships. That's what they do, fairly or not.
Why they're blue blood? Yeah. Hey, and we didn't even talk about UCLA, and they ain't won nothing in a long time.
Yeah, he was, and then I thought about Mick Cronin. Low key about him potentially taking his job because I think he understands what it takes. But I think he needs some time at UCLA to kind of turn it around before we can even consider a guy like a Mick Cronin. But yeah, and like you said, and even with them, they really haven't, as far as they've had some great recruits, but you know, and they still, you know. But not like Kentucky, where you know you're seeing guys from the league and everybody, you know, at UCLA. But you ain't seeing like you do at Kentucky, where you know they got number one recruiting class compared to UCLA, where they, you know, they just have like you know, they don't have the flash like Kentucky, where okay, if I got number one recruiting class, I'm expecting to win a national championship. You, according to these polls, blogs, this and third. We have the best recruiting class. So, hence, that's like, okay, once we get everything together, then we should, you know, we should be winning championships. We got guys that always are lottery picks. Every team has had a lottery. Every team he's had probably has had multiple lottery picks in his tenure at Kentucky. So, yeah, people are expecting that. And these guys are coming in to Kentucky with that type of hype already. Like, hey, he's coming in. He's going to be a lottery pick. You know, hell, he could be a lottery pick if he didn't come out of high school type of player. So,
right.
Yeah. Hey, it is what it is.
Right.
So, staying in college basketball, we had on Monday the national championship. I guess I can say I did stay up. I'm very proud of myself. Normally, for a 9:20 tip-off, it's a little rough on a work night as well, but we made it do what it do. Well, we had the University of Kentucky beating Purdue by the final score of 75-60. Tristan Newton was the game's MOP with 20 points and 7 assists. This is UConn's UConn is the back-to-back champion. They won the championship last year. So he joined elite company. The last team to win a back-to-back championship was the Florida Gators back in, was it the 06-07. They going back fast forward, then you had Duke winning in 91 and 92. And then, you know, obviously a run with UCLA where they won 10 straight, I think between 1964 to 1973. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we talked about this a lot like last year as well, too, because UConn at the time won their fifth national championship. Now, fast forward, they now have won their sixth national championship. Their sixth championship since 1999. So, can we finally now consider UConn a blue blood?
Well, my question is, what is a blue blood?
Just a blue blood, a team. When we think about a blue blood, a team that has a storied tradition, rich with championships, an historic type of team. Like, like when you think about UCLA, when you talk about they won 10 national championships,
right?
And a total of 11. Right. You look at University of Kentucky that we talked about eight of them. UConn was six. We also consider UNC, North Carolina was six. Duke has five.
Right.
So, you know, we look at those type of teams where blue bloods to me is just like the ultimate brand name and the golden standard in basketball. The golden standard, but more so we call it blue blood. But yeah, so Mars, a team that has A, tradition, B, national championships, and just a winning pedigree. That's why I look at it from a
So since you gave me the meaning, I'm going to say yes. Really, last year, once I realized they had won five since 99, I was like, "Well, yeah, you got to add them to it. You have to add them to just the newest team that has done it. So they definitely are a blue blood team. But then winning back to back, and they put their stamp of approval. Some of the people I watched today, they said that because the ratings was down and nobody really talks about the team, you know, that's NCAA's fault and that's UConn. But you can't take away that they've won five championships. I mean, six championships since 99. Like you can't do that. You know, you can't do that. You got to give it to them. You know what I mean? And the ratings was down Sunday because it was WrestleMania. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I watched the second half of the game, like you know what I mean. So, but I'm giving it to them. I appreciate you putting this up there because I didn't know, like for instance, we were talking earlier. We were talking about Kentucky, and I'm looking at UCLA. All those years that they won championships, and they haven't won a championship since '95. Yeah. Like, what's going on? It's UCLA, like that.
It has changed, and that's where, like, you know, it's been like that. I mean, it's fallen. I mean,
right. It's like somebody need to get that situated and straight, because I was like, so that was the 95. Was that the year the Twins played?
Which Twins?
Probably wasn't in then. What's the last
because name? I know that team, they had, like, Titus Edney.
No, I wasn't. It wasn't then.
Titus Edney. I forgot who else they had on that team. Ed O'Bannon. I think Ed O'Bannon was on that team.
Okay.
I don't know if
Ed O'Bannon was on that team, too. So, but anyway, like, I was looking at that. I was like, so I was just because the people that I was watching was disrespecting UConn, like how can you? They just won back to back. Duke won back to back, you know, and Duke really didn't win anything until Coach K got there.
Yeah.
So if they are blue blood, then and I guess what you're trying to say is blue blood teams are very popular, and I guess that's what you're trying to say. You're trying to say UConn is not that much. Even if they went to a popular team, they're like the Denver Nuggets.
Well, it's more like when you think about it, when you think about like from an NBA sense, okay, historical type teams, when you think about the Lakers, the Celtics, the Bulls, and then even sometimes like the Warriors, like are they, because obviously the NBA, you know, that's where when I think about like the blue blood from, like I said, the historical standpoint, the championships, the pedigree, all that. So yeah, that's what it really boils down to in the college game.
I think they are though. I'm giving them a thumbs up.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point, yeah, you have to. I mean, you just look at what they've done, and now you're looking at it where they've won. I talked about this last year, too. They've won in so many different eras. They won, I think about it, 1999. I think you think about that's like the traditional, how college used to be, you know, we romanticized college basketball, how it used to be. You know, you look at like 04, you start seeing that kind of boom of like guys kind of like leaving, like, that was like the beginning of the one and done's. You know, you had like, you know, obviously in the previous year, Carmelo Anthony wins the championship for Syracuse, and he does that one and done. He kind of, you know, when you think about it from that standpoint, the emphasis of that. And then you're looking at even in 2014 when they won. That's another one where I think that's was kind of like Coach Cal's prime, and you know, at Kentucky where the one and done was prominent. Where you know, and even with Coach K, because Coach K won. Was with a one and done type of squad, and I think because they won in 2015, so you look at it's right around that time, and that's when Coach Cal had essentially, you know, he had Carl Anthony Towns, he had Devin Booker, you know, in that time where he literally his whole starting lineup were freshmen, like, you know, as far as when it came to almost like a fab type of environment, and then even now you're looking at winning a championship now in 2023 and 2024, especially in the age of now with the transfer portal and the NIL. I think the winning championship now are going to be a whole lot harder because of the fact where, you know, because now the formula, you know, before, you know, the transfer portal and all that was, okay, most teams who are good are usually senior laden. They got great guard play. Teams have been together for 3 to 4 years, you're not going to have a unit being together in this whole entire, in this totality, but 1 year at this point. But, you know, we always look at those teams like, you know, that has great guard play together for 3 to 4 years. You know, they kind of built something from, you know, from freshman, sophomore year. Now they're seniors, and now they're going against their, and most people ask, they are the David, but in theory, they're really the Goliath compared to those, you know, the higher seeds, the ones that we always see on television. So that's why you always see a lot of upsets when it comes to, I think of, you know, I think about first of all, George Mason, that 0-16 that beat UConn, that had literally everybody in the NBA. I mean, because at that time you had Charlie Villanueva, I think he was on that team. I mean, it was a lot of NBA guys on that team. Rudy Gay was on that team.
Gay, I remember that game.
So yeah, so you look at how that happened, and you even look at like a team like a VCU when they went and made their Final Four run. So it's kind of one of the things where you start seeing those, and then now it's different, you know, where it's literally it's NFL free agency all over again. It was NFL free agency on the college basketball level, where there's always going to be probably about 50 to 70% roster turnaround every year. And we're not talking about, okay, well, you know, because sometimes it's going to happen if you have a graduating class, but not every year like it will be now, where you're going to have guys hitting the transfer portal. And I think we're about to be towards the end of the everybody getting a COVID year. Because I think that's about to end. I think that this might be the last class that still would have eligibility from 2020. So I think this time next year, you won't have COVID seniors anymore. So I think that's another thing, too, where I think that could potentially but then a lot of it, too, where you'll have, like, graduate guys as well, like guys going in their fifth year and their graduate school, and they'll transfer over. But I think this is by far, I think, in my personal opinion, the hardest runs, because, you know, you really can't build nothing on a 3 to 4 year timeline like you would normally would. Hey, I got this person. And even though, you know, you got the one and done and all that, but now you got transfer portal, you got all kind of NIL. So it's going to be definitely difficult to retain a roster at this point. And I think it's going to be even more worse where, you know, because and it ain't like, you know, because only a few teams can have that one thing. Like, we talk about Kentucky. I know we keep on talking about Kentucky like a broken record. But teams like Duke, Kentucky, certain teams can have those type of players in a rotating basis. But now every team is going to do it, because what's going to happen when the smaller schools and you're a mid-major school and your guy's balling out, he's going to go try to go to a Power 5 conference. So It's kind of one of those where it's just like it's always going to be a revolving door regardless of what type of school you are. You can be a one-and-done type of school. You can be a mid-major giant killer. Mm-hmm. That giant killer is going to take his talents to the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12. He's going to take it to a Power 5 conference. So it's kind of one of those where it's to do it in these type of eras. We got to give Kentucky that credit. I mean, to me, they're the new modern day blue bloods. So I think it's going to be hard to kind of replicate their type of success. You know, and I think for them to have this type of success, and like you said, I know people saying it because of the rating stuff, but that's not their fault. I mean, at the end of the day, they go in the hoop. So,
and that's why they won. They not worried about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, and Dan Hurley did a great job as far as just keeping those guys focused and keeping them aware of, hey, it's doing what the prize is at the end of the rainbow for them. So,
right.
I'm cool with making them a blue blood at this point, because I mean it's kind of one of those where, you know, they're definitely the modern standard of if you ever want to mimic a program, especially in this modern era, Kentucky is going to be the one. I'm not Kentucky. UConn is going to be the team that's going to be that team that you're going to really look at and be like, yeah, I want to mimic this.
Right. I think a lot of players, that's where they want to go. I think let's just say if they play for an off team, I don't want to say no name, but they're not one of those blue bloods. And they get to play, their team may lose in the tournament, maybe Elite Eight, maybe Sweet 16, but they did so well that they get into the portal, and then one of those blue bloods teams say, hey, yeah, we want you to come here. You know what I mean? That opens the door for wherever they came from, for whoever was on the bench. If I was a coach, I said, man, look, don't worry, you're going to get a chance to play, because he's most likely going to transfer and get into the portal. He's already let me know that he's going to play well. And understand what I'm saying? I think Cal would do that anyway. I think he's going to keep the same formula, where this guy may not go to the league, but he may say, I'm going to jump in the portal, or like, you know what I'm saying? He want to weigh his options. And I think it's from a fan standpoint, it's bad, but at the same time, with a lot of other things, it's great, because it brings a lot of attention to it. Like it does, it takes the player and says, hey man, you really need to pay attention to your career. And if it ain't working out for you here, make a decision. But whatever decision you make, you know what I'm saying? You got to live with it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's exactly how it is when you get to the pros. Like, it may come to a point where the NBA want to give you this contract, but overseas they want to give you this. You know what I mean? Or blah blah blah. And you may say, I'm gonna stay in the league, but they may treat you bad. But you know, if I said, man, I should have took that money and went out overseas and then got myself situated, worked on this and that, and then came back. You know what I'm saying? Like. They're expanding. So what, they even have NBA Africa now?
Yeah. And like, and the coach that came into your house at 17 years old, buttoned up your mom and dad, he can leave at the stroke of midnight.
Right.
I can leave too. So I like it. I'm at a point, this whole transporter, I get it. And plus, like you said, it gives you better opportunities. Like I got to look out for me first type of mentality. And rightfully so, because, you know, that's the thing. You got to put yourself in the position. And it's like everything. That's like, I hate when people make this argument about, like, not competing. But it's just like, but it's okay for their peers that's not in college, can go from job to job because, okay, I need to make this money because I have, you know, I have bills to pay, versus when it comes to the players. And I understand, yes, there is a certain situation where, you know, it is getting out of hand. Of course, I think all of it is going to get out of hand. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if your coach can leave, just like with Coach Cal, like, you know, if he can leave to go to Arkansas, why can't I follow him in Arkansas or go somewhere else? Right. You know, because I'm
Oh, go ahead, Coach. My bad.
Yeah, and I know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, you don't go to school for the coach, you go for the player. I mean, you go for the school. I'm like, no,
you're wilding.
The coach, yeah, the coach comes to my house. Right. He's trying to use his ink pen and sign up a letter of intent to go to his school. Because if it won't about the coach shouldn't even have came to the house. Why about mama making chicken for a coach?
Right. Two things. First one is pay attention to the Bucks. Okay, they fired a coach last year, hired a coach. They were number one or two in the league, and then they fired their coach. And then they brought in another coach. And then look at Holiday. Holiday was said he loved the Bucks, helped them win the championship. What did they do? They traded him.
Yeah.
At least in this situation, you have some type of power. I was watching Gil today, and they were talking about Darko, right? Darko got a ring. They asked Rasheed, they said, was he good? And he was like, man, he could shoot the three. He could do this. He said, but the problem is back then, you dealing with them old coaches and
Larry Brown, right?
They beat you up. He said now Darko probably would have went to another situation. He may have a complete different outlook on everything. You see what I'm saying? So word. Like some of those kids, and you know, we're gonna move on and we're gonna talk about another coach, right? And I'm gonna I think that's why she's successful, because sometimes it ain't all about the money. Sometimes it's about how you feel like you're being treated.
Yeah, and like this, and that's what I hated when in the pandemic, people was like, "Whoa, if Carmelo went to Detroit, they would have." Right. I'm like, "No, like, do y'all understand? This man, the reason Larry Brown is the reason why they didn't work, they did not win a gold medal in 2020 in 2004. Right. You DNP LeBron James." And Carmelo Anthony, and they were like 19 years old, and they literally was like the best players on that basketball team. And you didn't want to be there. Your youth, and right,
and wanted to be there.
And it's just like you can't tell me like you gonna start Richard Jefferson over like LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony, and that's what like people used to kill me when they was the base, and I'm like, y'all gotta understand that's how Larry Brown is, and just like if you ever listen to Jalen Rose, that's another one. He's another one where he's done his potential. You see, once Larry Bird got to Indiana, he started balling. He was pretty much Reggie Miller's running mate. But that's what I'm saying. Like, people, it's a situation. Right. Because, like, with him, I'm telling you, Larry Brown was not going to play him over Tayshaun Prince. And that sounds asinine and stupid. That's what would have happened, and it saved. Like, I know people say, "Oh, you know, his outcome would have been better." No, he's still at the time when he retired, he's still a top 10 NBA scorer. He's a Hall of Famer, and you didn't win a ring, but hell, you're in the Hall of Fame. Yes, so he wouldn't have. I'm telling you, he wouldn't have been that way, because then, you know, I mean, he might have still. Once Larry Brown left, but who knows how long Larry Brown would have stayed.
Right.
Because it was a smart thing for him to go to Denver. Because like I think if the roles were reversed, not saying Darko would have been a top 10 scorer in the league, but I think he would, you know, especially, you know, him and like who was on that team? I forget.
Rip.
And the 03 team. Prince, but yeah, they were. I'm talking about Denver. Because they had another guy that was similar to him. This was before Kmart. This was before Kmart, because Kmart was still in New Jersey. Okay,
Nene? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I think Nene was, I think he might have came like the year. Yeah, I think he was there.
Oh, I don't remember that. Year that
or whatever.
Team,
but But yeah, I mean, the team that he led to the playoffs that won like 17 games a year prior. So it's so it's like, to me, I'm like, I hated those debates because I'm like, man, Larry Brown was not going to play him.
And then, like, Darko, if he was probably in the league right now, he'd probably be a top player from what, if you listen to what Rasheed said, he could hit the three, he could dribble. He said the only time he would play, you had to piss him off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he said the issue is, like, we have messed with him and he'll play harder, but he said Larry Brown, you know, it's one thing to piss a person off, one thing to beat him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was Darko. Yeah, because
he got a ring though.
Smart, yeah. Hey, and Carmelo Anthony is a Hall of Famer,
right?
But you know, that's here, no deal. Well, right. He'll be one soon, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But so we'll talk a little women's hoops. So we gotta definitely talk about Dawn Staley. University of South Carolina won their third championship, beating Iowa by the final score of 87-75 to cap off their 38-0 season. So Dawn Staley is in rare air. She's won her third national championship. So now my thoughts is, what do you look at Dawn Staley's place amongst women basketball coaching greats at this point? And it's just more so at this point, right. Well, as we sit here, April 10th, 2024.
Right. She's top five. She's got three. You know, Dom, like right now, you know, for this era, like she's the coach. You know what I mean? Of all coaches, she is the coach. South Carolina has been dominant, especially the last 3 years. So, you know, she's the coach. If you're talking about the players, you've got to start talking about her, especially losing all those players last year, and then to get all these new players, and everybody was in there. It show you her staff and her, like, they're working. They went undefeated and won a title. Like, and it's her second time doing it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like, she's the face of it. Like, you can't just say those players' names. You're gonna have to say her name. You're gonna have to put her name in there too.
Yeah, she's at this point currently, as everything constructed, I think she is a top five, but she's probably like fifth at this point. She's right at the bottom part of it. But it's early. She's only fifth. I think she'll be 54 in May. So she's at a great pace to out, because I think she can literally vault up four. Because how I kind of got it, I look at it, obviously, I think my number one is probably Gina Auriemma. I think him win 11 national championship.
Right.
I do say Tara Vanderveer, because obviously she has the most wins, so she's there. I look at, obviously, the late great Pat Summitt. She won eight at Tennessee. And even though I know this is going to be the one where it's like, oh, why are you talking about Kim Mulkey? I think Kim Mulkey is in that class as well, because I think, considering the fact she's won four national championships and she's won with two different teams, which I think she's the only one that I think out of all of them have won at two different teams, so two different colleges. So, and then also she won a national championship as a player as well at Louisiana Tech way back in the day. But she's there, and obviously she's at a clip, and I think she'll be, you know, amongst like Gino, Pat, and Tara as well at this point, because if she's on a trajectory, she'll be 54 in May. We'll put almost like a Gino or MA. So if she coaches for another 16 years, she'll be 70. So you would think, even probably this year, the benefit of the doubt, if she still stays at South Carolina, she could potentially win. She probably would maybe be at the 10-plus mark potentially, and if she stays on for another like 16, 17 years at you know, just continue to coach. So she's at five now, but I think even if she wins next year, she might vote up past Kim Mulkey, I think, in my first place. So she could be fourth potentially. But I think I still look at Kim Mulkey's records a little bit more impressive than Dunn at the moment.
Right.
But the thing about it is I think she could definitely surpass her next year if she gets her fourth championship. So I look at that, and then and she goes to that category because I think she helped build South Carolina. South Carolina, I think people fail to realize, like, before she got that job, South Carolina really wasn't, you know, because we think about Tennessee. Tennessee was reigning supreme in the SEC at the time. And then you look at what she's doing currently there. And then I think she has like 612 wins so far. So I think she could literally be on that Tara Vanderveer's trajectory, because I think because she just retired. So, and she's 70. I think she'd be 73 this year. So if Dunn at 54 can coach as long as Pat Vanderveer, she got 20-some plus years potentially. Right. So she could definitely get to 1,200 wins potentially. Because I think with Terry retiring, I think Gino's going to end up ultimately going to be the highest winning coach. I think she's at 12-16. He's like at 12-13. So obviously he'll get that before Thanksgiving. Right. At this point, so he'll be the all-time winningest coach by Thanksgiving. So, and who knows his future going forward, because he just turned 70 a few weeks ago. So it's kind of one of those where I definitely think she can get there. I think if she coaches, you know, as long as, you know, them, if she can coach another 15 and potentially 20 more years, she could literally be the best, the greatest coach, greatest women's coach of all time if she, you know, at her trajectory. Absolutely, for sure.
Man, in the next 10 years, I could see her getting 6 championships. Like,
potentially.
Because they have to stay there. First of all, the players got to stay there a little bit. They can hit the transfer portal, but I think people want to play for her. I think some of them girls want to play for her. And that's what I was trying to say earlier. Like, you can look clearly they're top of the line, and she let them play. She ain't yelling at them. She's yelling at them for motivation. She ain't downing them. Like, she ain't beating them up. Like, a lot of times I was watching her, she was just sitting down and let them figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And then even when it seemed like the refs was working against them, she still was able to keep those girls locked in. And like, and then, you know, no offense, like, she, when it comes to female professional basketball, man, she should really be the face. Because like, if you just go back and just for WNBA, she played for Virginia, like, all her stats is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, man, she deserve it, man. It's not but blessings, V. Like, I was just sitting there and I was looking up everything. I was like, the way women's, that's crazy. I was like, wow, yeah. Because I'm looking at Kim, and like you said, Kim is a little bit older, and I'm looking at her, and I see something different between the two.
You know absolutely. What I mean? She gives a damn about her players. She cares about her players.
And it's more about us than me.
Oh, yeah.
You feel me? And I am.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because – oh, whatever. Just Couch Coach Live. Like, I believe Kim is the reason why LSU lost, because Miss Reese looked extremely fatigued. And the whole time, like, okay, as a coach, you got to protect your player, especially your star player. And I don't understand why it wasn't a timeout. Like, it was a point where Reese wasn't even running down when they playing offense. She'd get the rebound, throw it up, everybody else down there.
Yeah.
And she ain't even making. I'm like, you've got to do a timeout. Then you wonder why she fouled out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. That's just me, you know. So
I think to me, she is like, to me, it's like the face of women's college basketball in a sense, like as far as from a culture perspective, in my personal opinion. Yeah, and she'll get there. And then I think, like I said, everybody wants to play for her, and then
right.
You can even see the affection and love that she has for her opponents. I mean, you think about, right, like, you know, as far as like when LSU and South Carolina had that little brawl in the SEC championship game, right, you could see, you know, her reaching out to Flage and, you know, talk to her, you know, knowing, hey, you know, showing her love and showing her support. And she does that for everybody. I think that's the thing where people are willing to do it. And, you know, then even you look at like Carmella Cardoza, where, you know, obviously she, you know, from Brazil, came here as a teenager, you know, went, right, to Syracuse, then transferred to USC, but South Carolina. And you look at like how, you know, just how they surprised her, what bring her family during the SEC tournament, you know, just stuff like that. And it's just like those type of moments. Yeah, and I think people are willing to play for Dawn Staley. And I think that's one thing too, where it's going to be like a long list, long laundry list of people waiting to, you know, to play for her, because like, and because she cares. I think that's one thing too. I think if, you know, all, you know, if, you know, in your case, you know, you have a 17-year-old daughter, and could you imagine if she played basketball and Dawn Staley came to your house, and just how you would feel, just her comforting energy, and you would be more inclined to have your daughter, you know, go to Charleston, South Carolina, because she knows she's in good hands with a woman like Dawn Staley. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's going to have that type of feel. She can go into anybody's home and can give you that sense of my baby going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's going to propel her to that, because like you said, because she's already has developed that type of sense of making everyone feel welcome. Like, she makes you feel like you're a person in the room.
Right.
Like, she makes you feel like you're an important person. You're, you know, where it's sometimes usually will feel the opposite, where you would have somebody like her would command the room, but more so in the sense she could command the room, but she'd also make you feel like you're just as important as her in that room. And that's something that, like you said, we talked about Kim Mulkey. We really just talk about the accolades and sense, and we don't want to kind of cross that line as far as when it comes to how she's handled certain situations, especially in the situation in the SEC championship game with all that. But Dawn Staley just has that presence, and it's just something that you can't fake, you can't replicate. She's that it factor, and like you said, and you know, and the, you know, you can go to those environments where, like you said, you can win and be loved in the way that you need to be loved, compared to, and I, you know, and like, and we, the kind of coach that we talked about that's in that, and that tier that we talked about, it have, we know, you know, God rest her soul, and some, we know she was a tough coach. And we all know when it comes to coaching, regardless of who or whatever level, use those guys. Those are the coaches that are successful. They're always a little bit of difficulty when it comes to, you know, most of them have a love hate relationship of it, because obviously you even look at, and it's funny watching like Diane Taurasi and Sue Bird talk about Geno like on that broadcast, and it was it was funny because it was like, with Coach Oriemo, would he have Caitlin Clark shooting logo threes? He like, hell no. He was like, she could probably barely dribble. But it's a truth in that joke, because it's like, but that's how, and we all know like Gina Oriemo kind of runs a tight ship as well. So it's kind of one of those where, you know, so she'll get there. She will get there.
And they want to win. They want to win for her and with her. You know what I'm saying? And I would, you know what I mean? And the coaches want to work for her. They want, you know what I'm saying? Like, they all, you could just sense that it's not about her. Like, you can see that she's like, it's not about me, it's about all of us. And they like, we want to make sure, we want to push you up too. And that'd be the standard. You know what I mean? That'd be a standard of coaches, because we want our coach to be more like that. We don't want a robot, you know, taking the whip. Yeah. It's really hard for you to do that nowadays with these young people, because they're extremely emotional.
Yeah. And that's the thing, where you just look at it just from that standpoint of like how with Coach Staley, like as far as, and even I love the fact, like, you know, during the Final Four, Aaliyah Boston, you know, was a part of ESPN coverage, and her talking to Aaliyah Boston, is, and I almost felt like, you know, like Dawn Staley was like a proud parent, you know, when Aaliyah Boston was interviewing her. So I was like, that's kind of like, it's kind of cool when you think to yourself, like, man, that's awesome, where it's like, I'm doing this job and you're giving me flowers. Now I'm supposed to be giving you your flowers and you giving me flowers.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's something when, if you're an aspiring high school basketball player, you see stuff like that, that's who you want. And like you said, and I said, and as a parent, if you have a teenage child, a teenage girl, you want your baby to have Coach Staley around her.
Right.
It's, yeah. And yeah, you like I said earlier, you can't fake that funk. You can't fake what Dawn Staley's doing. You can't fake the authenticity. And I know people will say, you know, obviously with this, the, you know, they're trying to, you know, they always want to try to bring Sister Dawn out, you know, because, you know, people, you know, some hate, but hey,
it is talking about that reporter that asked about the
yeah, which is just question. And it's like, yeah, Dad, and then even somebody was saying, you know, she, you know, when she praised God and you know, right. Stephen A. Smith.
And you know what's crazy about that? She a baller. Like, we talk about basketball. Okay, if they consider themselves a being this, yeah, they come on in this game, get this work. Like, you know, that's how you it ain't then, MMA fighting or you know what I'm saying? This is basketball. Trust right. Me.
And we
ball over here.
And then, you know, someone criticized her for praising God. Like, why do you don't praise God all year? And I'm looking at myself, do you even watch her games? Listen to her in an interview. Like, stop trying to be dramatic and get clicks. And I'm like, look, it's not gonna work. Like, all you gotta do is do some surface research, and you can mention her. She will talk about her faith. She talked about her faith. Not even that's because she won a national championship. She talked about her faith anywhere she go. She talked about faith when I seen her in Atlanta last year, and she just was talking to us. So it's just like, so
shot don't, fire, pop, 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 pop.
So that's the thing. but it's just like, you know. So it's just like one of the things where I just don't. I hate that, you know, this stupidness when it comes to all that. But I'm just, you know. But she's getting there, and I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to what she's gonna do. And then, you know, and not to mention, she's won a gold medal as a head coach. She's won a one as a player, and then I'm assuming we're gonna get the gold again this year. We're gonna find out, boy. That's another one that's gonna add to her notch. I'm telling you, I'll be coming for Dawn. Dawn about might win gold, you know what I'm saying? And Paris. So, you know. So he'll come for Dawn, you know.
Hey, we.
So We'll put a bow on tonight's Couch Coach Live. We'll go around the horn. Who gets your game ball this week?
Well, my game ball is going to Miss Dawn Staley. She's the first black coach in Division I to win three NCAA championships. So I'm giving it to her. She deserves it. Domination, like the last 3 years, I think her record is, 106 or 109 and 3?
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, crazy. And it's just like, and you know, I'm gonna say this too. I'm gonna give it to UConn too, because I didn't watch the whole game, but all I heard, I don't know any players on that UConn team. I know Edie, you know, the center for Purdue, right? That's all I know. Yeah. You know what I mean? But when I watched what I saw, I was like, oh, they killing him with the pick and roll. Like, they knew exactly how to beat him, and I just was shaking my head. So I'm giving it both teams, but definitely giving the game ball to Staley. She deserves it.
For sure. So I got two game balls this week, because it's been kind of a little hectic this week. So amidst of everything that was going on this weekend, we had a national championship in women's, so much stuff going on in sports. And I probably went by far the biggest sports story in this area. I gotta give a game ball to man Harry Dalton III, the Dinwiddie sensation quarterback, man. He's been a star. He's a class 2025, so he's going to be signing with USC, the University of Southern California. So definitely huge shout out to him. And the accolades continue. So he'll be a third year starter, and then with it coming up in the fall. But in his 2 years as a quarterback at Dinwiddie, he's amassed nearly 7,000 yards, 103 touchdowns, and the state championship. So definitely huge shout out to Harry Dalton, the third out of Dinwiddie doing his thing. Get ready to go to USC in 2025.
Congratulations, Dinwiddie.
Yes, so definitely huge shout out to Harry Dalton the third. And I've definitely got him. And then obviously in the midst of all that, that was the weekend. I said I was gonna shout him out at least on social media, but I guess it's the perfect platform to shout our guy out. But the final game ball is Tara Vanderveer. Obviously we know news broke that she has retired. Such a great career at Stanford. Like I said, we said about it earlier as far as when it came to women's college basketball, great coaches. Obviously, she's won. She's an all-time winningest coach when she retired at 1,216 wins. Let's see. She had 81% winning percentage. She's a three-time champion. She's had 27 Pac-12 regular season championships, inducted to the 2011 Basketball Hall of Fame, five-time coach of the year, obviously, and then she was the 1996 Olympic head coach when the Olympic Games were in Atlanta. So definitely huge shout out to Tara Vanderveer. Great career. Part of me is kind of selfish because I wanted her to at least stay for maybe a year or two because obviously now Stanford's in the ACC. So I wanted to kind of see would her dominance kind of reign in the ACC because she won the ACC championship and all that type of stuff. And sucks that she's leaving the game. I definitely was hoping that she was going to at least, stay a little bit longer so she can see how she will be in the ACC. But did not happen. But definitely huge shout out to Coach Vanderbilt.
Man, word. Congrats. Yeah. New chapter.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And yeah. And whoever goes to Stanford, boy, they got some big shoes to fill.
Man.
But hey, she created a standard. But so final thoughts and social media and what you got.
Final thoughts, man. Great show. Get ready for these playoffs. Hey man, are they saying Giannis is out indefinitely?
I did not check on that. I know he left yesterday with a non-contact injury, which it do look severe. And shout out to Dan, the Nazis. Living his brother up.
Man, they said it was something with his calf, but I think it's just Achilles.
It looked a little rough,
right.
The Nazis was out there, Pick what? I mean,
he had to get him off the court. They were trying to put him in the game. He was like, no, my brother.
All right, my bad. He's like, he went in the locker room with him. I'm a DMP again tonight.
We going to talk about
that. My brother DMP. If y'all are DMP, I'm DMPing. So I ain't playing either.
Why did you play?
I was like, where you at?
I've got to put
in the locker room.
Right. Okay.
My meal ticket gone.
Hey, with the best Oprah Clark, Oprah Iverson or whatever. So Clark, they won when the Lakers won, and they got their rings, and they were showing everybody, and they saw Giannis's his brother. because they were showing everybody was saying, congratulations. And he was like, ooh, where Giannis at? And he was like, that's crazy. He said, he got a ring before Giannis. That's crazy.
He said, they say the best for the last.
He said, man, LeBron out here making it. He said, because the only reason that dude is even in the league is because of Giannis. But great show, man. Get ready for these playoffs, these play-in tournaments. And yeah, man, Deshaun Morgan, Facebook, DT Morgan 78, Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, man. So pretty much, once again, like I said, once again, another great show. So pretty much social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Couch Coach Live, YouTube, Couch Coach Live. The podcast is available anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, there. And also, if you a one-stop shop where you can pretty much check everything out, Couch Coach Live, just check out the website, couchcoachlive.com, where you can check out the podcast on there as well. And also our social feed is where on the website as well. So yes, this has been this week's Couch Coach Live, man. We'll catch you guys next week. And we're out.
Welcome.